Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. And while you're doing that, let me thank the chancel choir and the fabulous brass. That was very special. And let me once again welcome Brian, Pastor Brian, and Michelle, and Mary Drew Freeman Harrison, and Anna Campbell. I'll get those names right shortly. But welcome, welcome to our church family, and welcome to Columbia. It's not always like this. This is somewhat unusual, but welcome. And there are traditions and installations and ordinations, especially in Presbyterian churches, have a choreography that is hard to justify altogether from Scripture, but it is what it is. And I'm delivering the first of three addresses this evening. Hopefully the other two will be shorter than mine. And as I was thinking, as Brian asked me to do this evening, and I'm honored and privileged to do so, I thought I would take the opportunity perhaps to address the reason why he's here. And part of the reason why he's here is because our elders sought to examine what our needs were over the next foreseeable decade and more. Long-term planning, long-range planning committee identified a need for caring for our aging congregation. We've had a little bit of a tussle between whether we should call it minister for the elderly or minister for the aging, and we're all aging, but nobody likes to actually categorize people as elderly. If you're over 60, you're in the elderly range, and I can say that. And I thought I would use Psalm 71 this evening to do that, because Psalm 71 gives us the seeds of a theology for aging. How to grow old gracefully and for the glory of God. So let's read the psalm together. You'll notice it doesn't have a title. And scholars think that perhaps at one time Psalms 70 and 71 were one psalm. There's no way of proving that. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned, for from before my birth, you are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been a portent, a sign, a wonder, a token. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, teaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. Well, Pastor Brian Bolt has been called by you as a congregation many months ago now. You elected to have him come to be one of our pastors, and he has a particular task to perform, to take care especially of the aging or the elderly in our congregation. And I want us to think about what the Bible has to say in brief compass about ministry to the aging. For good or ill, our society, sociologists and others, divide our society into various groups. The baby boomers, Gen X, millennials, or Gen Y, and there's also now, I think, a Gen Z, and however helpful or unhelpful those designations are, we are, in fact, this evening thinking about a particular group of people. And the gray hairs, let's label them the gray hairs, as the psalm does. Life expectancy in Japan is the highest in the world. It is 74.9 years. In the United Kingdom, and they come 20th, it is 71.4. In the United States, coming in at 31, the average life expectancy is 69. If you live in Chad, or the Central African Republic, or Angola, or Sierra Leone, life expectancy is in the low 40s. Verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Verse 18, even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. So I want this evening to think about the seeds of a theology of aging for the glory of God. And the first thing I want us to see, and we are looking at this psalm not verse by verse, but we're selecting various things that this psalmist has to say. The first thing I want to say is this, that we should approach old age with this thought. I'll take refuge in God rather than draw attention to my trials. Look at verse 7. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. We don't know exactly what it is that he's referring to. He's saying that his life is, in the context, a sign to those who see him. He has obviously passed through some kind of trial. He obviously has enemies. He's in a difficult place. But he's become a wonder to those who see him. And perhaps what the psalmist is actually saying is the wonder is his faith and determination to follow the Lord no matter what. And I want to grow old like that. He describes God using various images. In verse 3, he talks about God as a rock of refuge, an allusion, no doubt, to Exodus 17 and the striking of the rock and the life-giving water that emerges out of that rock. He is, in verse 5, the Lord, in capital letters, Yahweh, the sovereign covenant God who watches over him and has watched over him from his birth. And his mouth is filled, in verse 8, with your praise and with your glory all the day. Well, I want to grow old like that. Singing the praises of God, looking to him, extolling him, being filled with faith. And when you meet someone like that, and we have so many in this congregation who are just like that, a man who works on our telephone on a Monday morning, who's in his 90s, and he's like that. He has gray hairs for sure, but he loves the Lord, and you are immediately aware of that within the first few seconds of meeting him. Leviticus 19:32, you shall rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. When you meet someone who's been around a while, who's climbed up to the top of the mountain where the air is clear and the vision is long, and they have experience and they have wisdom, and you honor that man, and you honor that man and fear the Lord, and you respect that person, and you show them dignity, and you respect them in posture and in words and in the manner in which you greet them. Here's a man who takes refuge in God rather than draw attention to his troubles. The second thing we learn here is in verse 14 that he doesn't give in to despair. I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. Of course, there are different circumstances that beset us. And some grow old with debilitating disease of body and mind. And we think of Alzheimer's and diseases of that nature. But should we be in our right mind, our resolve is to glorify God more and more. Every day is a day nearer glory. And the older we get and the grayer we get, the closer that glory comes, when we shall be absent from the body and present with the Lord. I'll never forget my predecessor, the minister of Stranmullis Evangelical Presbyterian Church in Belfast. When I was called as a pastor in 1978, he was already in his early to mid-70s. And I remember hearing him preach at a Banner of Truth conference in Leicester in England. And it was the last sermon that he would preach at that conference. He always preached the opening sermon at that conference, had done so for 20 years or more. And this was the last time, and he spoke about heaven. And there was a touch of heaven about it, and many of us commented about it afterwards, that as he spoke, you could almost sense something of the beauty and the glory of heaven, because he had been thinking about it over and over. He was anticipating it, that sooner or later, and for him, sooner rather than later, the Lord would call him home to be with himself, and he would be in the nearer presence of the Lord Jesus. And when you've been around heaven, as it were, it's almost as if your clothes smell of heaven. Just as when you've been in some place, and not so much now in 2018, but some of you will remember in the past that you'd go into a building where there'd been cigarette smoke and so on, and you'd come out and your clothes would stink of it. You'd pick it up. Well, here's a man, and he's got grey hairs, and he has trials, and he has difficulties, and things are not what they used to be for him, and he may be speaking metaphorically, and he may be speaking spiritually, and he may be speaking of the fact that he actually does have enemies. But he doesn't give in to despair. He praises God more and more. Let's be sure to be a people who are determined to grow old, to age in that manner. There's a third thing I want to draw attention to, and that is, he's an evangelist. He's growing old, he has grey hairs. But notice what he does, what he says in verse 15 and again in verse 18. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. He wants to talk about what God has done. Verse 18, so even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. And you get the sense that he's an evangelist. He wants to talk about God. He wants to talk about the things that God has done for him. He has seen many things. He has experienced many events and circumstances in which the Lord drew near and delivered and rescued and helped. He's been in dry spells. He's been up on the mountain. He's been down in the valleys. And he has a story to tell. He wants to tell the mighty acts of God. How many of you have a testimony tonight? And part of that testimony is you remember your grandparents. And you remember your grandmother, perhaps, and how she would pray for you when you were a little boy, a little girl. You'd sit outside the house on a summer evening on the veranda on a white rocking chair on your grandfather's knee, perhaps, and he would tell you stories. And they were full of God, and they were full of Scripture, and there was a faith about them that was alive and real. And I want to finish the race like that. And we need to cultivate a people who have that spirit about them. You remember the hymn, How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord. And it has that stanza, even down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn like lambs, they shall still in my bosom be born. I always want to be an evangelist. Retta Miller was telling me this morning, and she will tell me again, how wonderful it was to see Pastor Bolt visiting some of our elderly members over this past week, 10 days. Dozens and dozens of them, opportunities to minister to them, encourage them, challenge and motivate them. And so there's a fourth thing I want us to see here. I will give you unreserved, joyful worship. You notice in verses 22 and 23, I will praise you with the harp and with the lyre. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. And here's a man, whoever this psalmist was, here's a man who's growing old. But he has a song in his mouth, and he has praise on his lips. And he wants to sing and praise and worship in an exuberant fashion. You know, Moses was 80 when he crossed the Red Sea. Aaron was 83. Caleb, one of the spies, was 85. Anna, the prophetess that you meet in Luke chapter 2, was 84. That's sobering, isn't it? And God is using them. You know, there's no real theology of retirement in the Bible when it comes to the work of the kingdom of God. There may be retirement from other vocations, and that's a topic for another time and another place. But there's never retirement from the work of the kingdom of God. And I don't know about you, but I want to grow old with a sense of hope and with a sense of conviction and with a sense of determination that until my dying breath, I want to serve the Lord. I want to make him known. I want to sing his praises. I want to tell a generation to come and the generation after that the glories of my God and the wonders of King Jesus. The old, the elderly, the gray hairs are a treasure to the church. There are churches and they have one demographic, and that is not a good thing. And one of the blessings of being in this congregation is that it ranges from little children to gray hairs and everything in between. And I think that's what the church is and what the church should be. And we show a deference here. We show a respect here. We give an honor here to the gray hairs. Because the old are a treasure in the church. They bring vast amounts of spiritual experience and understanding. The strength, the wisdom, the knowledge, the endurance, the perseverance. And we honor the gray hairs best when we cultivate in them a desire to live out and out without reservation for the glory of God. Well, these are just seeds. Seeds of ministry. There is a committee. There are always committees at First Presbyterian Church. There are dozens of committees at First Presbyterian Church. And one of them is currently looking into how we may enlarge our vision for ministry to the elderly. And couple of elders, Joe Walker and Dr. Randy Folks, for example, are on that committee, and their vision is extensive. And their vision breaks some boundaries and goes a step further, because there is so much that we can do to enlarge the vision for the mobilization of the elderly so that they can live out their days for the glory of God, like this psalmist is living here. So I'm going to ask you to pray over these next few weeks and months as that vision becomes more and more clarified. And within the next few weeks and months, I expect that vision to be clarified. And as Pastor Bolt especially takes a leadership in this area of ministry in our congregation, pray for us as a congregation that we will be known for passionate love for the Lord Jesus and passionate desire to glorify Him at every stage of life. Imagine hundreds of gray hairs witnessing, like the psalmist is witnessing here, and passing on that vast spiritual experience to the generations to come, and the good that will come from that. Imagine that. And dream a little with me of what God can do here by the blessing of the Holy Spirit and the enlarging of our vision to serve Him as a community here at First Presbyterian Church. Well, let me pray. Father, thank you for this psalm. We're just scratching the surface of it, but we see here a little glimpse of a theology of aging for the glory of God. And all of us are aging, and some of us already know that we're in this category. And we want to be filled with this vision ourselves. And we pray tonight for Pastor Brian Bolt and his family. Thank you for bringing them here. Pray your rich blessing help them as they settle into this community, in all the difficulties of moving home and setting up a new one, and all of the little details that are part of moving from one location to another. Pray, Lord, that within days they will have this sense that this is home. This is where they belong, because you have brought them here. And grant your blessing now upon us as a congregation, that together we might serve you to the utmost of our capacity and for the glory of your great and holy name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.